Our special coverage of John McCain's selection of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin continues for the next 25 minutes or so here on the Ideas Network. We will welcome your reactions now to the pick, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Good afternoon. I'm Joy Cardine, usually with you early mornings here on the Ideas Network, but back for this special call-in on John McCain's announcement in the last hour that he selected the first-term governor of Alaska, 44-year-old Sarah Palin, to be his running mate. McCain says he picked Palin because of her reputation as a government reformer, her executive experience, and her understanding of working people, among other things. And our guest to talk about this choice is Charles Franklin, a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good afternoon.
Hi, good to see you this afternoon
this
morning.
We're usually here early in the morning. So talk about a dark horse. No one really saw this one coming, did they?
No, this was a huge surprise, and I'm sure the McCain campaign planned it that way. Governor Palin's name had come up over the last month or so, but always, of course, as, well, if you want to think outside of the box, here's someone he might go to. In the last week or two, we've had so much talk about other people, much more well-known people, that in another sense, this was a great act of misdirection. Everybody's been focusing on Mitt Romney or Governor Paul Lenny.
That's it. Yeah.
Sorry about that. And so now to bring her into the scene is really striking. And coming the day after Obama's speech is a nice way to divert the focus, too.
Mm, so he did want to step on the headlines for the Democrats.
Well, that was planned from the beginning that he would do this big event today and pick a VP. But if he had picked one of the people that we'd been talking a lot about for the last 2 weeks, it's not clear that it would be quite as compelling as it's turning out, simply because everybody wants to know Sarah Palin who?
Yes. Well, Sarah Palin who? What does she bring to the ticket?
Well, you know, the first thing is that we're asking who. She's not well known at all in the lower 48, and so there's a lot of introduction to be done. You saw a little of that today. She is just what the McCain campaign said, a real reformer, someone who stuck up on ethics issues and it took on people in her own party. Given the Republican Party's problems with ethics in Congress in recent years, she's really good on that score. She also matches up very well with McCain on ethics and opposition to pork barrel. She's opposed some of the pork that comes into her own state of Alaska. She also does something with the Republican base. She's a strong pro-life candidate. Mm-hmm. And so, especially after the last couple of weeks where we heard talk about what if McCain goes with a pro-choice candidate, this is a great way to bring the base back and make them very comfortable with her. And so she brings those family values back to the ticket, mm-hmm, as well, and helps shore up McCain maybe a little bit on that.
And does it do anything for the women's vote, in particular Hillary Clinton supporters? We just heard her in the at the rally in Dayton, Ohio, saying, hey, maybe we can break through that glass ceiling once and for all with me as a vice presidential running mate.
I think that one's more of a stretch because Sarah Palin is a conservative, and conservative on social issues in particular. Hillary Clinton is the opposite of that. So for anyone to go from Clinton to Palin would mean that they totally ignored the issues that are supposed to be the most important issues driving the women's vote. So I think it's more of a stretch to think that this will bring any Clinton supporters in.
Yeah. Well, we have limited time with you, Professor Franklin, as we want to bring our listeners chapter a day at 12:30. So I'm going to go to the phones right away and start taking calls with questions and reactions from our listeners. Marilyn in Melrose Park, Illinois, joins us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you.
Yes, what do you think?
I'm a 57-year-old woman who was a strong supporter of Hillary Clinton in the race. I'm now a very, very enthusiastic supporter of the Democratic ticket with Barack Obama and Joe Biden. I will tell you, this pick does nothing for me. This woman, first of all, I don't think is qualified to be the vice president. Hillary Clinton clearly was. And those of us who supported her are thinking with our brains, not just because of someone's sex. So I don't think this is going to do anything for John McCain's ticket. And we certainly won't move the people I know who were supporters of Hillary Clinton.
Professor Franklin?
Yeah, I think that's probably true among Democrats and among Clinton supporters. There's some question about whether she might have more appeal among independents and independent women. Bringing these family values to the table, the five children that she has, she may be able to appeal to folks that are considerably more moderate than Democrats and more moderate than most Hillary Clinton supporters. So I think in terms of trying to attract women to the ticket, it's probably not the Democrats that she's aimed at. It's really the independents.
And as for experience, we heard her talking about how she was a hockey mom and then became a PTA member and then the mayor of her hometown. And then governor of Alaska, and she's only been in office for a couple of years.
Yes, the irony of this pick is that she's maybe the only elected official that could have been a vice president who has even less time in office than Barack Obama does. And so it in a peculiar way inverts the arguments about experience. And so oddly, Barack Obama's speech last night saying that change comes to Washington, not from Washington, actually applies to Sarah Palin as well as it applies to him. Mm-hmm. She's an innovative newcomer rather than a tried and proven old person. And, you know, the real trick for both tickets now is whether they can turn that into an advantage and an achievement, or whether, as John McCain has been hammering away at Obama, he doesn't have enough experience, hasn't been around long enough. So it kind of inverts the arguments of both campaigns.
Sure. And the significance of John McCain celebrating his 72nd birthday today. She's 44.
I think the one thing that you have to worry about from the McCain campaign's point of view is, for an awful lot of people, the first question about a vice president is, if this person should have to step into the presidency, could they do it? And we saw this, if we rewind to 1984 and Geraldine Ferraro, a little-known member of Congress, stepping into that role with Walter Mondale. She faced a big hurdle of convincing the public that she was as qualified as George Herbert Walker Bush, who had the longest resume in vice presidential history. And she struggled to do that, and she partially achieved it, but there were certainly skeptics. With Palin, she's going to face exactly the same kind of challenge. She has to show that she's on top of public policy issues and policy issues of international and defense things that really the Alaska governor doesn't deal with very much.
Right. Thanks to Marilyn. Next, we go to Mary in Minocqua. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you. My daughter and I'm a little over 65, and she's 29, and we both just happened to catch it, and we're stunned. I was very excited. We both think it's fabulous. I hope that she will, well, she says she's going to get way out there and get known all over because my daughter had never heard of her, so I was really, you know, kind of upset about that and hoping that the young people, especially who don't follow politics very much, will get to know her. I think her executive experience, well, in Alaska, although for only 2 years, is going to be a very high plus, which, of course, she would need. And I do agree with the caller that just called in here. The experience is going to be a factor. Can she take over should something happen to John McCain? But I don't know. I also feel that she's just an ordinary person that's going to appeal to the ordinary people of America. And just a normal husband seems very, you know, normal. No, he's a union man and a hardworking job and five children. She's going to have a hurdle, but I'm sure she can overcome it. And I just think it's great.
Thank you very much, Mary. That's one of the appeals that John McCain said, too. She really understands working people.
I think that's actually one thing that might bear noticing, that she's the opposite of an elitist. And so to the extent that the McCain campaign still would like to tag Obama with being elitist with his Ivy League education and so on, you know, she's absolutely not. I think she's a graduate of the University of Idaho, I believe, went to school in Alaska, husband works in the oil fields. These are not East Coast intellectuals and not from a privileged class. And so it will be an interesting aspect of her campaign.
She worked as a sports reporter for two Anchorage television stations, too. So don't forget that. Here's we've been looking for reaction from Barack Obama's campaign, and here it is. Barack Obama's campaign has now responded to John McCain's choice of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin as his running mate. A statement attributed to Obama spokesperson Bill Burton reads, "Today, John McCain put the former mayor of a town of 9,000 people with zero foreign policy experience a heartbeat away from the presidency. Governor Palin shares John McCain's commitment to overturning Roe v. Wade, the agenda of big oil, and continuing George Bush's failed economic policies. That's not the change we need. It's just more of the same." Professor Franklin?
Well, it's certainly a nice congratulatory note to Sarah Palin on her nomination. But that's exactly the kind of really hard-hitting attack you might expect in this case, that they're focusing on her very weaknesses that we all know about. Those had to be part of it, but it certainly came out tough from the very beginning rather than, you know, a nicer congratulations followed by the tough stuff.
Next we go to Ned in Wausau. Hi, Ned, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm rather surprised by the choice of Sarah Palin, and I feel that it's not a good choice. I don't think that it's someone that close to the presidency should be at that high of a level. I really think that since she took office in January of 07, having won the November 06 election as governor of Alaska, that means she's been in office 1 year and 8 months as governor of Alaska. Now, to say that you have executive experience, that is true, but it's certainly limited. And the other thing is, she really has got tight connections with big oil, because the people in Alaska get a state income tax refund every year rather than having to pay state taxes in like we do in Wisconsin. And the reason they get that is because of the large amount of revenue generated by the oil industry in that state. Now, that's not necessarily good or bad, but it's just an interesting observation that it's so different than we have here in Wisconsin. And finally, on social issues, I really think that she may appeal to the religious right and a lot of Republican women, but I think they were already going to support McCain anyway. I don't think she's a strong choice for bringing independent voters into the Republican column this fall.
All right. Thank you, Ned. Any comments on those observations, Professor Franklin?
Yeah, I think the Republicans, on the one hand, will try to spin the oil industry in the state as a positive, saying that she has experience with energy exploration and the policy issues. And that may, in fact, be one of the areas where her state policy experience serves her well in the national debate. I think the other thing is that we have to wonder, with an unknown like this, does she turn out to be a Dan Quayle, who was a very – nobody remembers this, but he was a very successful junior senator,
mm-hmm.
who then couldn't handle the pressure of the national media when he suddenly got the vice presidency? Will Palin turn out more like that, or will she instead turn out to be this real surprisingly impressive person that you never heard of before and you're going, oh, my goodness, she's really good? It's a huge burden to live up to, but if she pulls it off, I think she has some real assets and brings them to the ticket.
Yeah. She is for drilling for oil in Alaska. McCain is not.
Small problems.
Yeah.
Biden was for the war.
Yeah.
Obama
yeah.
was against it. So I think both of them will have to live with a few disagreements
yeah,
like that.
And then
that.
She served on this Interstate Oil and Gas Compact Commission in Alaska, and that's where she helped uncover all this corruption and bring the wrongdoers to justice.
That was really what launched her statewide mm-hmm. career, was taking ethics seriously, attacking people in her own party for ethical violations. And it's, again, probably the single strongest thing on her resume from the point of view of the McCain campaign is that she hasn't just talked ethics reform. She's gone out and laid it on the line. And through election, she's beaten some of the people that she was criticizing for their lack of ethical behavior. So she has a strong suit right there.
You're listening to special coverage, a special call-in to get your reaction to the just-announced pick of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin as John McCain's vice presidential running mate. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Charles Franklin, a UW-Madison political science professor. We're taking your questions until 12:30 this afternoon at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, talk@wpr.org. We did receive an email from Jeff in Oshkosh who simply says, "Awesome. I'm excited to be able to vote for a woman who is not Hillary." So that person probably wasn't going to be voting for Barack Obama anyway, right?
Probably not. But, there's the obvious that we're either going to have an African-American president or a female vice president. So This historic election year has just become one step more historic.
Reed in Clintonville is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Morning. Or afternoon, that is, yeah.
Yes, Joy. Say, a couple of quick questions and a couple of very quick comments. Just wondering how Mrs. Palin, or what Mrs. Palin's relationship was or is with Exxon, considering the fact that all those poor souls in Alaska have just lost a major fight against Exxon, and what her relationship with Senator Ted Stevens is. And then a couple of comments. Joe Biden's son is also about to be deployed either to Iran or Afghanistan. I'm not sure which. It was mentioned that she has a son about to be deployed. And do you think, I was wondering what your guest thinks, Joy, whether or not Joe Biden can or will really take her to task on foreign policy issues. We saw our current president snookered recently by Mr. Putin and his minions in Russia, along, of course, with Condoleezza Rice, who was also snookered, and she is, of course, Mr. Bush's Russia policy expert. I think Mr. Biden certainly can do wonders in a debate with this woman.
Yeah, what do you think, Professor Franklin?
A couple of things. In terms of experience on the table, this is a really unequal vice presidential debate. And so I think the huge question is, can she come up to speed enough on the international relations, foreign policy, and so on, to compare favorably with Biden? And we just don't know that. We'll have to wait and see. It poses a tactical problem for Biden that he can't seem to be too vicious in attacking her. But at the same time, the whole point of a vice presidential debate is to try to tear down the other side. And so I think we'll see a delicate balancing act there. I don't know about her relationship to Exxon, but she did fight Ted Stevens over Pork Barrel, including the Bridge to Nowhere that was a favorite Stevens project. So to that extent, she was willing to distance herself from Stevens.
Yeah, she did say in at that rally that I told everyone that if we want a bridge to nowhere, we'll build it ourselves. We don't need a government earmark for that. Reed, thank you very much for the call. Richie in Burlington, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, what do you think?
Oh, well, I think that it's sort of a repeat of what the last caller says, but I have a different take on it. Joe Biden and Sarah Palin against each other in the vice presidential debates. I don't think that Joe Biden is the greatest debater of all time, but he certainly has more of a standing on things like foreign policy and a number of issues that Palin just has no record of supporting or even having an opinion on. I mean, when we're possibly on the brink of war with Iran, China, Russia, and God knows who else in the next 10 years, I mean, there's a website that is popular on the blogs on the Internet called ontheissues.org, where it's actually a pretty comprehensive list of what each of the candidates believes on certain issues, and she doesn't even have an entry for 12 out of 22 issues, including immigration, jobs, and foreign policy. She doesn't even have a record for having any opinion on those things. I mean, it's outrageous.
Well, maybe it was a surprise pick to her, too, that she was going to be the running mate.
I'm sure it was a surprise. You know, I think this is exactly the problem that they have to face. The good side from their point of view, the Republican point of view, is that she is a substantially empty vessel that they can fill and tell us who she is and what her positions will be. I think the trick to watch for is whether she gets the gotcha question. Name the president of Russia, name the premier of this or that country, tell me the difference between Sunni and Shia. Or whether the conversation is more about, does she have a real grasp of the issues of foreign policy rather than those kinds of gotcha fill-in-the-blank questions. The vice presidential debate could be a debate about these big policy issues. And there we'll see whether she's in fact a student of these things and able to go head-to-head with Biden or not.
Thanks, Richie, for the call. Luke in Appleton is with us now. Hi, Luke.
Hi. I was wondering if your guest could elaborate on something that I remember reading a while ago. It was a scandal I heard about regarding Sarah Palin and a state trooper using the governor's office to basically try to fire this guy. I'm a little unclear on the details, and I'm wondering if you could elaborate for me.
There has been some investigation of that. I have to tell you that I'm not up on the facts of that, and so I will not try to tell you anything I don't know about it.
Yeah, I did read on CNN that she had a legislative panel has launched an investigation to determine if Governor Palin dismissed Alaska's public safety commissioner because he would not fire a trooper, Mike Wooten. Wooten went through a messy divorce from Palin's sister. Palin has denied that his dismissal had anything to do with her former brother-in-law. So in any case, she's denying there's any wrongdoing, and she says go ahead and investigate. Only a minute or so left to go. Aaron in Kenosha, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess I just want to say that I'm thrilled that the Republican Party has chosen a woman. As a woman, I think that's great, and I would love for the glass ceiling to disappear as well. However, she still does not represent the views and the platforms that I feel represent my opinions. And I would hate for women to choose to vote for McCain because his running mate is a woman, whether they agree with the issues or not. I don't think that it will have that much bearing on his campaign in general.
Yeah, and we only have 30 seconds to go, Professor Franklin.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that gender equality is an important issue for an awful lot of women, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you vote totally regardless of issues. Well, the one thing, going back to Luke's question, is that with a newcomer like this, no matter how thorough the vetting process was, there's always room for surprises because somebody just hasn't been in the bright glare of the national scrutiny. And so this is maybe the biggest danger that the McCain campaign's courting here.
Well, we will learn more and probably as well next week with the Republican convention getting underway. And we'll talk to you again soon, Professor Franklin. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Charles Franklin, a UW-Madison political science professor. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.